grace and peace draws us into this place to worship a Lord who is with us in the good times as well as the bad times. May our hearts rejoice in His goodness.
Thank you. stand with me as you are able. Our call to worship this morning is Standing on the Promises.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And when we say Happy Mother's Day, we do want to acknowledge all the women of the church, for though you may not have children or grandchildren of your own, you are a spiritual mother. Christ said, "Here is my mother, and here is my father, and here are my brothers and sisters." We are the family of God. We also acknowledge this morning that not everyone has a child. Some have lost children, some have lost mothers. Perhaps some have even had bad mothers. And so I want to share with you something that was given to me earlier this week from a blog written by Amy Young entitled, "An Open Letter to Pastors on Mother's Day from a Non-Mom." It is a statement of solidarity, a litany, if you will. "To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with the little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We do not mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms,
and spiritual mothers, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience and pain. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we say that maybe life has not turned out the way you have longed for it to be, but you need no one but Christ to make you complete. To those who are step parents, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream has not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests this coming year, we grieve with you and we rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with all of you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. And so on behalf of First Baptist Church, to all women here today, we say again, Happy Mother's Day. And now I want to invite our Chairman of Deacons, Jeff Pritchard, to come forward and share a word about deacon nominations. Jeffrey?
Sounds good. Greetings this morning. I want to come to you on behalf of your deacons. As you'll notice, if you've taken a minute to look in your bulletin, there's a deacon nomination form in there. And this is a time the congregation is asked to prayerfully consider. I want to stress that prayerfully consider those that you would like to think could serve in the capacity of deacon. This year, we're looking for five. So our task is big. We're looking for five individuals who are willing to serve as deacons that you would nominate. And once you nominate these individuals, then we consider them as our deacon nomination team, and we'll start making calls to those and see if they're willing to serve. But first, we need to hear from the congregation. So please, if you know of someone, think of someone, you can nominate yourself even, that would like to serve as deacon, then we please put it on the form. We'd like to have it back by next Sunday. So you got it today. You can just fill it out, put it in the offering plate. That's one way you can do it. You can hand it to one of the current deacons. Or you can by next Sunday you can do the same thing, put it in the plate. So just prayerfully consider who you would like to nominate to serve your church as deacon. I thank you.
Susan, let me just mention too that next Sunday, immediately following the worship service, we will have a very brief call business meeting for the purpose of electing that deacon nomination team. So just make sure you register with that. The next Sunday, just for a few moments following the service, we will have a call business meeting for deacon nomination team.
Our opening scripture, this morning is John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. May we pray. Almighty God, we know that you are with us always, and we feel your presence now in this place where we gather together to worship you. We come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We have been given so much, and remember that many of your children have great needs. Remind us that there is no way to be an uninvolved Christian. Touch our hearts so that we will work harder as your hands and feet on earth, seeking to help those who are weary and suffering. Open our hearts to know your plans for us. You have assured us that you are our refuge and help, and that has been proven time and time again in our lives. You know our needs and the needs of those family and friends who have suffered this past week. We ask that you give peace and strength to them and to us, especially to those who are returning to health. We pray for our country's leaders and for those who seek to be. Lead them to remember that this is your world, not just your country. Forgive our sins. We know that our thoughts, words, and deeds have fallen short of being worthy of you, and that there is much we have left undone. We know that you have already heard our silent prayers, and now we pray aloud as Christians together the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of praise this morning is Come Christians Join to Sing. If you'll stand as you're able, please.
This time, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. Good morning, guys. How are y'all this morning? Y'all just thoroughly exhausted that you spoiled your moms this morning? Is that what is going on? No. Are y'all celebrating your moms this afternoon? No. Y'all celebrating your moms this evening? Probably. Y'all have no idea, do you? Man. Well, guess what? So this morning we're going to talk about moms a little bit because we have each been blessed with mothers and spiritual mothers, grandmothers who have just raised us. And one of the wonderful, amazing things about moms, and I'm not joking when I say this, is their purses. They're amazing. I walked in church with this today, and you should have seen how the comments I got about my great decor that went with my suit. But the amazing thing about purses, mom's purses, is this. Everything you might possibly need can be found in a mom's purse. Did you know that? Everything. I'm not joking. When I was a little boy, anything I needed, all I had to do was go ask my mom, and she would dig and find it in her purse. Jennifer's the same way, so I decided to do something this morning that you should never, ever, ever do. Do you hear me? Never, ever, ever do. Never go through your mother's purse, but we're going to do it this morning in children's sermon, okay? This is your one chance in life. Never go through her purse. So, let's see all the things that we can find in a mother's purse and how it can help us out. Let's start. Let's see. Hand sanitizer. How many of you have ever had dirty hands before? How many of them are dirty right now? Yeah, I'm looking at them. I think so. Mom always has hand sanitizer. Never fails. Band-aids. How many of you have ever had a wound on your body before and needed a band-aid? How many of you have a band-aid on your body at some point, place right now? How many need one? Okay, always need a band-aid. Sunscreen. I used to hate this stuff, but I love it now. When I was a kid, this was the one thing that I would run from my mom from, when she said, I'm going to put sunscreen on you, you know what I did? I ran out the door, and I got in trouble. But don't do that, but it is a wonderful thing that prevents you from getting sunburned. Have you ever had sunburn before? No, you have. It doesn't feel good, does it? No. That's why we have sunscreen. What else does moms have? Kleenex. How many of you have ever had a runny nose? How many of you have a runny nose right now? Moms always have Kleenex. It's amazing how many things they can do with Kleenex. They can fix your runny nose. They can wipe sweat off your brow. They can clean you. All they have to do is a little spit on it and wipe your face. Kleenex is an amazing thing, and moms always have it. What else do moms have? Let's see. Food. How many of you have ever coughed? Coughed? Yes. Cough drops. Moms always have cough drops. I can't stand these things. But they stop the cough. How many of you have cough right now? No. All right. Yeah, I thought so. Anyway, let's keep going. See what else we got here. Oh, Cheez-Its. Moms always have our favorite snacks in their pocketbooks. Did you know that? It's amazing. It may not be Cheez-Its. It may be something else. But it's always, whenever you're hungry, all you have to do is ask your mom, and she will find something for you to eat in her pocketbook. It may be a Kleenex, but she'll find something. All right, what else is that? Candy, chewing gum, Tic Tacs. You may not like these, but how many of you like chewing gum? Candy, hard candy. Yeah, I know you do. These are your stacks right here. This is something that moms always have when they want us to be quiet. Have you ever noticed that? Here, have a piece of candy. Stick it in your mouth. Suck on it. Don't talk. You ever notice that? That's why Luke has it right here. Over here. All right. How many of you have ever had an upset tummy? Come on, really, guys? Upset stomachs. Pepto. Mommies always have Pepto. Pepto can be used for anything. Upset stomachs, headaches, aches and pains. They'll give you a Pepto and you'll be fine. Did you know that? Always have it. A brush. That's a big brush. You know why they carry big brushes in their pocketbooks? It's because we always need help looking better. Always. We are never in a spot where a good brush of our hair is not necessary. How many of your moms have these brushes in their pocketbook? I bet you they do. If they don't, then maybe as big as this one, maybe bigger. Always have it. All right, let's see. What else? How many of you have ever been thirsty before? Yes. How many of you are thirsty right now? You're out of luck. Go ask your mom. Anyway, this water bottle, they always have something to drink in their pocketbooks because they meet every possible need we have. But last but not least, they usually carry something around like this. What is that? That's a Bible. They don't have it on the book itself. They have it on their phone so they can pull it out. And this is where they look and read, and they get the wisdom and glean the wisdom they need to help raise us to become the young men that we need to become. And that's what Scripture says. Scripture actually says, and mothers, raise your children right. But you know what the Scripture also says? It says, young men like you, honor your fathers and your mothers. That's an amazing Scripture passage. I think that we sometimes remember on this day, but we don't remember every single day. That's something we're called to do every day. Look at all these things. Look at all these things that mothers have in their pocketbooks, all for us because they give sacrificially, and they always know what we need and why we need it. And that's an amazing thing.
but they always follow this, and that's wonderful. Let's take a moment. I think we as not just our children's time, but as a congregation, we need to recognize all those mothers, grandmothers, those spiritual mothers that are in our lives that raise us to become the young men that we're supposed to be, help me become who I am. So let's stand up, and let's look out at the congregation. Now stand. Come on. Let's stand up. Now, what we're going to ask this morning is this. We, on behalf of First Baptist Elon, we want to recognize all the women in our lives, our mothers, our grandmothers, those spiritual mothers in our lives that have helped us become who we have, who we are, and who we will be. This day has been set aside for decades in U.S. history for recognizing mothers. But we recognize that this is just one day, but we should honor our mothers every single day. So at this time, what I'm going to ask is all our mothers, our grandmothers, those women that serve as spiritual mothers in our lives, to please stand. See all these women? That's a lot, isn't it? So on three, what I need you to do is go give every one of them a kiss. One, two, three, go. I didn't actually do that. Forget the candy, ladies. Y'all are getting real kisses this morning. Usually they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, today we want to honor you on behalf of the worship team at First Baptist Elon. We want to honor you with two gifts. A little kiss, a sweet kiss, and then a bookmark that reminds us who you are to us and how we celebrate you. So guys, I have a lot of work to do, okay? What I'm going to do is let's divide it up this way. Luke, take this one, and you go that way. All the moms on that section and all those middle sections, give them one of those. All right, ready, go. All right. You get this section. All the women over here, and also the choir, you get one of those. You get the big job. Every one of these ladies needs a bookmark, okay? Can you start up there? And then move all the way around and get everybody okay, ready to go. As they do this, ladies, I'll ask that you, as you get it, please remain standing. If you do not receive a bookmark or a Hershey kiss, please raise your hand, and they will make sure they get one to you. On behalf of First Baptist Elon, we do recognize that this is a special day. And just from my personal life, I've had so many women in my life, not just my mother, not just my grandmother, but women in my life who have helped shape and mold me as teachers, as nurses, as Sunday school teachers, as you might, the list goes on and on. And in so many different roles, women play an important part of our life. And as we know from Scripture and as we know from even our church right here, we can't do what we do without our mothers and grandmothers and spiritual mothers. So we give you thanks. So, as you collect these items, in just a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer and remain standing as we keep going. See where we are. They were so eager to give real kisses. All right, guys, this morning we're going to do a prayer a little bit different. What I want you to do is I want you to go stand with your moms, okay? Give them a great big hug, and then we're going to have the prayer, okay? Father God, we give thanks this day for the women in our lives who have blessed us in ways that are beyond words. We give thanks for the mothers, the grandmothers, the spiritual mothers who have been in our lives to have shaped and molded us to the point we are today and who will continue to shape and mold us as all the days to come. Father, we lift up these women who are blessings not only in our lives but also in the life of our church and the lives of our community and across this world. May we be reminded that this is just one day we set aside to honor mothers, but 364 more days we are called to honor and serve them. Father God, we lift this prayer on behalf of our mothers, grandmothers, and spiritual mothers this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
In preparation for our offering, we stand and sing, "We Give Thee But Thine Own."
Before I pray, I'd like to remind all the men that next Saturday is our last men's breakfast before we take a break for the summer. We'll have Reverend Woody Lamb from Piedmont Men of Steel joining us to lead us in a study of Acts chapter 3 and 4. We studied first two chapters last men's breakfast, so please come out. It's your last opportunity before we take a little break for the summer. I'd love to see you. Let us pray. Father God, you are so good to us. You provide our every need, even when we are unfaithful, Lord, you are still faithful. So, Father, as we bring just a small portion of the blessings you've bestowed upon us, we ask that you bless them and use them to further your kingdom. We ask it all in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Psalm 97 says, "The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame, those who make their boast in worthless idols. All gods bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name." Would you pray with me? God, we confess our need for you, our ever-present need for your mercy and your grace. And we are overjoyed that you lavish it upon us so abundantly and freely. We ask that on this day you would open our ears to your presence more fully, so that we might live our lives more faithfully. Faithfully in a world where there is a thief, or thieves all around us, seeking to rob us of joy, to deny us of life lived well, to trick us and confuse us, but you have come to give us life. We give you thanks from our deepest soul, from the bottom of our heart, and from the fullness of our minds. In Jesus' name. Amen. you pray with me? God, whatever you have to show us and teach us today, let us not miss it. Amen. These two hard-working fellows were driving a truck full of clay, and they were heading up to a great pit to dump it. And they were backing this truck up fully loaded with clay, closer and closer to the pit, when all of a sudden, when it was too late to do anything about it, they had backed a little too far. The back wheels went just a bit over the cliff, and the bottom of the truck hit the dirt, and the front end creaked up slowly, ever so slowly, to a perfect angle. And there they were, dangling. The one guy says to the other guy who was driving, he says, "Well, what are we going to do now, Roy Lee?" And Roy Lee just calmly and casually grabs a few tools and items from the cab. He hops out the driver's seat and goes up underneath the truck. And the passenger calls out, "What you doing down there, Roy Lee?" And he says, "Well, we might as well greaser and change the oil. We'll never have a better opportunity." Some people have this ability to turn something very tragic, even dangerous and disastrous, into an opportunity. They have this knack for making the best of a bad situation. There's a patience, a calmness that comes over them, and they simply make it work. They're those who very much so epitomize the Chinese character for crisis, which involves also the character for opportunity. Crisis and opportunity always go hand in hand. Paul and Silas were those kinds of people who throughout their ministry were faced frequently with danger, disaster, misfortune, unfortunate events, things that were in fact sometimes just total failures. And yet they persevered and made it work. How could they do this? By their faith. By their faith that came through not blindness, but experience with a God who is always present. Not just in those happy la-la times, but in those very difficult moments as well. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16, gives us a glimpse into that life that Paul lived, that life that was able to make the best. It says, "One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money and fortune by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, 'These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation.' She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hopes of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, 'These men are disturbing our city, and they are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe.' The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks." Now, I have to stop the story right there to acknowledge I've had bad times, but I've never had that kind of bad times. Listen to these words again that's describing this experience. First of all, they are stripped of their clothing. They are now naked before the public. You've had bad times like I have. Have you ever been stripped of your clothing naked before the public? But maybe you felt that way. Stripped of your privacy, stripped of your sense of security, stripped of your sense of dignity. You may have felt that way before.
It says that they were severely beaten with rods, a severe flogging. This is the kind of flogging that's going to not just leave marks, but draw blood, leave them bruised and cut and bleeding and in pain and shaking. Now, some of you may have felt that before. Maybe it was a verbal lashing, or maybe it was a surgery that left you feeling like less of a person. A surgery that left you hurting, or a sickness or a cancer, but it was hard. It says that they didn't just throw them in prison, but in the innermost prison. So this is a jail within a jail. This is the deepest, darkest dungeon the town could conjure. There would be no lights. There's no air conditioning or heating. It's cold. It's pitch dark. And they feel blinded. Now, we all know what that feels like. We know what it feels like to feel trapped, to feel like we are in chains, to feel like we are just in the dark, and we don't know which way is left or right or up or down, and we're just sitting in that. I think that's what grief is like sometimes, a cell within a cell. Not only that, it says that they fasten their feet in the stocks. They're trapped. They're immobilized in this moment. I read a funny story, or saw it. It's actually an illustration this past week of a little girl who was trying to button the buttons on the back of her dress. You know, everything that we do is easier going forward. It's easier to walk forward than backwards. It's easy to work with your hands in front of you rather than behind you. And so as she's trying to fasten up these buttons, she finally exclaims in frustration, "How am I supposed to do this when I'm in front of myself?" We know that feeling too. That feeling of being in front of yourself, frustrated. Maybe when we are facing disaster or grief or hurt or destruction, it's not just frustration we feel, it's often anger. Maybe we feel betrayed. Maybe we feel incompetent, powerless, hopeless. And it is easy to give up. But Paul is the type of person who knows life is easier when we're going forward, when we're in front of ourselves. And so what does Paul do? What does Silas do in this moment of darkness? They move forward. In verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were proclaiming hope in a hopeless situation and holding on to hope in a hopeless situation. Several months ago in a sermon, I was reminded that in a survival situation, the thing that kills you is when you lose hope, when you give up. They're hanging on to hope, hanging on that they know something about God that the jailers and the other imprisoned folk don't know. That God has this ability to turn things around, to shake things up in our lives, and to make the most out of so little. To turn the darkness into life, to turn death into resurrection. Paul knows God doesn't put people in chains. God's not the one who causes the calamity, but he can make something of it. He can do something with this. God does not kill our loved ones because he needs them as one of his angels. God does not give people cancer and pain and suffering. But even in those moments, Paul has learned that God could do something with that. Because God's not going to let the darkness have the upper hand. And so in verse 26, suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. Have you ever heard the phrase, God's going to rock the house? God rocked the house. The chains fell off. They were free. But they didn't go anywhere. I imagine that if I were enchained and imprisoned in the jail within the jail, and the doors flung open, I would take that as my sign from God, go and be free. But Paul's learned something that I haven't learned. Paul has learned that some things are not about me, that some things are bigger than us. And Paul has sensed in this moment, he has discerned that God could use this moment for something even larger than freedom. Freedom from a jail. The story continues in verse 27 to tell us that when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Could you imagine the jailer's mental state at that point? What's going through his mind? The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. My, how the tide has turned for Paul and Silas. One moment they're prisoners, beaten and bleeding. The next, there's salve on their wounds and food before them, and they're in the jailer's own house. God, again, gave them life where there was just death, hope where things were hopeless. But not only for Paul and Silas, the real victor is the jailer, who now has eternal life. He has life everlasting. God used even this for his purposes of salvation. But you know, the scriptures stop there that we are reading today, the lectionary. But it keeps on going. And what's amazing from verses 35 on to the end of the chapter, that's to me the most amazing part. I wonder how we even can respond and comprehend what happens next. See, then all of a sudden, the magistrates send a secret word to the jailer saying, "Hey, you might want to let these guys free," because they know they have broken the rules and the laws, and they know that they haven't followed justice, and what they've done has been a great injustice. And so in secret, they say, "Just let them go, let them be free. And let's not talk about this anymore. Let's sweep this under the rug." Nobody's ever wronged you before and then tried to sweep it under the rug, have they? Yeah, I can see that look on your face. You know that feeling. Paul crosses his arms and says, "No, no, no. I am a Roman citizen and I have rights. You tell the magistrates to come down here, publicly apologize, and publicly set us free." And you know what? They did. My, again, how the tide has turned. You know what we learn from this story? Is that things are going to go bad in your life. Maybe things are bad in your life right now. And don't believe the bad theology, the sick and toxic theology that says, "Well, that's just God testing you," or "That's just God trying to strengthen you," or "God just is working in you on that this way." But instead, receive the truth, the life-giving truth, that no, it's the thief that comes to kill and steal and destroy. But Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Not that all the bad things will go away magically. Not everybody's story ends up like Paul's. In fact, Paul's story doesn't end up like Paul's. He ends in chains and his head removed in Rome. But Paul, through the end, knew God is with us, never leaving us and forsaking us. And the great secret to living well is learning to accept His presence and light even when you're in the prison, within the prison, chained to the wall. Let us pray. God, if there are things in life that are the prison within the prison, You are the freedom within freedom, the life within life, the hope within hope. Set us free from our fears and our hopelessness and our anger and our bitterness, and help us to live life always to the full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is so appropriate. O God, our help in ages past. He was there for you then, He is here for you now. Would you stand and respond together? Remind you that there are no evening activities tonight. We want you to be with your family to celebrate those mothers in your lives. Would you receive this blessing and remain standing for the benediction response as we go? May the God of light, whose lightning lights up the skies, enlighten your heart, enlighten your mind, enlighten your body, and indeed your whole life as you walk through this week. May you walk strong, even in the valley of the shadow of death, and even in the glory and the joy of celebration. Whatever comes your way this week, may God be with you, and may you know it and be strengthened by it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.